Let's go in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. What? I thought we were going to Galatians. Well, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because I want to set up tonight, and I really want you to pay attention to what we've got going on tonight, and kind of set this as a foundation. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul made a very profound statement here. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." One of Paul's chief concerns was that he would, is that the people in this church that he had helped plant, that their minds would be moved away and be corrupted. And he said it would be Satan that does it. Try to overcomplicate, try to help people go way deep, try to, you know, talk about things, you know, that are not as important as the simplicity that is in Christ. And, you know, the more that I learn, the more that I study, the more that I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to be moved away from the simplicity that is in Him. I'm not looking for a new doctrine. I'm not looking for a new wave. I'm not looking for a new thing, because all things are new in Christ Jesus. And that, I mean, if you just focus on Him, if your doctrine if everything in your doctrine gets its source from Him and it's all about Him, you've got enough to go far beyond a lifetime to discover all of the promises that are in Him, all of the inheritance that's in Him, everything that He's done for us. Okay, and so really, living by faith, I just want to say this, living by faith is not difficult. It's not hard, and it's not complicated. We have allowed religion to come in and overcomplicate what the Christian life should be and what the Christian walk should be. But I'm telling you, it is not hard at all. And the reason why a lot of times people don't experience the things that God has promised them is because they have set up these hoops, and they have set up these doctrines, and they have set up these requirements for them to be able to receive from God. And they just can't believe it can be this easy, that it should be this simple. And I want to tell you, it is easy. Listen, think about it this way. Your children, my child, Seth, when he calls me, "Hey, Dad, I need gas for my car." You know, he doesn't jump through hoops to ask me for that. Jennifer says he should. You know, he just knows he's my son. And so just asking. Actually, sometimes he doesn't even ask. He just says, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to put gas in the car. I just thought I'd let you know I'm going to use your check card to do that." Well, he knows he has a right as my son to do that. And so he lives very simply with that truth. Does that make sense? Well, the same thing is true for us. God didn't create hoops for us to jump through and requirements. He says, "You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. So let's just receive by faith." And this is what Galatians is talking about. And so as we talk about these things tonight, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. And as we dig into some things that maybe you've not seen before, let's not move away in that. Let's not get our eyes on these, you know, I mean, the vastness of God's knowledge, the amazing grace, you know, and the plan of salvation. Let's not get so overwhelmed and get so tunnel vision on one aspect of it that we miss Jesus in the process and the simplicity that's in Him. Okay? Because everything that Paul was talking about in Galatians was to help move people from this idea that now that I'm a Christian, now I've got these rules, regulations, and laws that I've got to keep to maintain my blessing or to continue to be blessed by God. In other words, I have to constantly make sure that I'm pleasing to God and that I'm not disappointing God. And I do that by doing step 1, 2, 3 or keeping commandment 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so what had happened is they had overcomplicated the gospel. And actually, we'll find out later that as we get down the road in some of this, that he says that you've fallen from grace and that you've been cut off from Christ and that Christ isn't profiting you at all. And anytime my doctrine or anytime I start getting confused or overcomplicating my life as a believer, I know that I've just messed up. I know that I've just gotten off track and that I've been moved away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. All right, so there's some very simple things that we're going to get into here. All right, so I've got a great task tonight. My goal is to make it all the way through the end of Galatians chapter 3. And we're at verse 13. So that's 16 verses that we've got to go through. Now, does anybody want to lay a bet on whether or not we're going to make it through to the end tonight? I say that we are. Does anybody? How many of you think we're going to make it to the end of chapter 3 tonight? Jeff, you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Everybody else.
But within the same time frame. That's right. In the same
time. Oh.
Okay,
same.
There are restrictions.
There are restrictions. No, there's no law. We're under grace now. We're going to get it done. Let's go. Verse 13, Galatians chapter 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Man, that's awesome. If you want to know about that, listen to last week. We went through the whole deal, and it's amazing what we have been redeemed from. Glory to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. There is no more curse for the believer. There's no generation curse. We are not cursed. We are blessed. Amen. And then it says this, verse 14, that the blessing, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law for this reason, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, a couple of things that I want you to see in this verse. First of all, Jesus, and the context of this chapter is that we're going back to before the law. Okay? That we tend, and what was going on in their lives is the focus was on Moses and the law. That if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to keep the commandments that's in the law. And so what Paul is saying is, no. You've got to go back to before the law. We got to look at the promise that God made to Abraham. And this is what he's talking about here. And so everything was so that he could remove the law out of the way so that we would just be 100% in that same covenant, in that same promise that God made to Abraham. We really, you know, a lot of times we don't study that enough. But the fact of the matter is, if you go to Genesis chapter 12, you know, and go all the way to chapter 21 and 22, you get to see the life of Abraham, but you see the blessing that is on his life. And you find out that there was no law in place in Abraham's life. God showed up to Abraham. God said, I'm going to bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and you shall be a blessing. And so Abraham just did what God said. I mean, he obeyed God because he believed. God said, just go this way. And he said, okay, I'm going to do that. You're going to bless me. We find out in chapter 13 that he was rich in cattle, silver, gold. We find out in chapter 14 he had enough people that he could that worked for him that he could go defeat an army. And then we find out in chapter 15 God cut a covenant with him. A blood covenant with Abraham. That all Abraham had to do was just believe God. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. So what happened is Christ came so that the law would no longer be an effect in our lives. This is the simplicity that's in Christ. He came so that the law that enforced, if you will, sin, enforced the curse, that the law would no longer be, that we would no longer have to be under that rule, that system, so that all we get to do is experience the same blessing. Oh, this is so good. We get to experience the same blessing that Abraham got to experience in his life. At the same measure, I mean, we get to experience the same favor. We get to experience the same protection. We get to experience just that blessing that is preceding me, that everything that I do that is going to prosper because I believe God. And so this is what he's talking about. Jesus did this, that the blessing of Abraham. Now, I want you to see something here. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a little Greek here for just a moment. That word through isn't a good translation. The translators didn't know. In some cases, I've been studying this out a little bit, and you wouldn't know it unless you went to the Greek to see it. But this word through is the Greek word en. Okay, it's really mostly translated in at our word in, I-N. So let me kind of give you an illustration for a moment what's important about this. If I were to tell you that I received a package today, you know, there was a package from Amazon on my front steps. Everybody likes those Amazon packages, right? And then I told you that it came by UPS. What that simply means is that Amazon sent the package, UPS was the carrier, and then they dropped it off, and now I get to enjoy the package. Well, now, if we use that same illustration with Jesus, that's okay. I mean, we'd say that the blessing of Abraham was sent from God to come through Jesus Christ, and he dropped off the package so that we could enjoy it. And we could shout over that. But it's more than that. Because really what this is saying is that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now why is that significant? All right? Give you another illustration. I could take my car through a car wash to get it cleaned and then outside, you know, go through and then out the other side. And then guess what? The next day, the next week, what's going to happen? It's going to get dirty again, right? But what if my car stayed in the car wash? What's going on all the time? There's always this washing that's happening. There's always this flow that's happening. In other words, Jesus isn't UPS that dropped off a package. Jesus is the car wash that I get to stay in all the time. Blessing is flowing. And new favor and new mercies every day is flowing and flowing and flowing. So I'm not over here trying to enjoy something that has been dropped off for me. I'm living under this free flow of the kingdom of heaven in my life. The blessing of Abraham is coming on the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. Woo! All the time. I'm surrounded. All the time, I'm stepping in. In Him I live. In Him I move. in Him, I have my being. Not just through Him, not just by Him, it is in Him.
Yes, yes.
Get a picture, you are in Christ. Now, we're going to see it here in a little bit. Even more how he talks about this. So I just want you to kind of circle that word, recognize that it's the word in. And it says also that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And this is the whole key, and I'm not going to take time to talk this out, but know this, that Jesus came so that we would receive the Holy Ghost. Last chapter of Luke, he said, tarry till you receive the, or till you be endued on high and you receive the promise, those two words, the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, he said, stay in Jerusalem and I'll send you the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 2, when they received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, all these amazing things were happening. Tongues of fire, wind like you can't believe, as the Holy Ghost comes in. Everybody comes together to listen to him, and Peter's first message, the first gospel message, is saying, look, what you're seeing is Jesus has ascended to heaven. He's received from the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, and he has sent this out on us. And he says, now, he said, and they said, well, then what do? And he said, listen, repent, be baptized into Jesus. That's what he's talking about. I want to preach about being in him. In him. Get baptized into him, and you will receive this. He says, for that same promise is to you and to your children and to all of them that are off. This gift, this promise, again, the promise. This is the reason Jesus came, so that we get to be in Him, receive the Holy Ghost, get to be led by the Spirit every single day, enjoy freedom, enjoy being free from sin, enjoy freedom to live for Him, and to walk out the inheritance. Let me say it again: to walk out the inheritance that He has for each and every one of us. So this is so important. We don't do it through the works of the law. We don't do it by praying and fasting. You know, I mean, I've talked to people, man, I've just been praying for the Holy Ghost. I'm praying, I want to receive it. And they're working for it, and they're trying to clean up, and they're trying to, all of these kinds of things instead of simply receiving by faith what God had promised. Isn't this amazing? I just love it. I just love it. Now, he says in verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. In other words, let me give you a natural illustration. He says, if it were a man's covenant, two people that come together, two people that make an agreement together, yet if it is confirmed, if it's signed on the dotted line, you know, if it is sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered, yet if it be confirmed, no man can disannul it or add to it. Okay? So if me and Mark Hicks, if we had an agreement together, maybe to buy his house or vice versa or something like that, and we put it in writing and it's a done deal, you know, then James can't come and later say, you know what, I'm saying X on your covenant, X on your contract, that's not going to work. James doesn't have the right to get involved in that, you know. Or if Eddie comes to it and say, I tell you what, guys, I'm gonna add some stipulations to your contract. Eddie doesn't have the right to add a stipulation or to make a change to a contract that me and Mark Hicks gets to make. This is all he's talking about here. And this is important because he's setting up a very important principle when it comes to Bible interpretation. He says, now to Abraham, verse 16, and his seed were the promises made. Now notice, he's going all the way back to Abraham. And he says, get your mind off of Moses. Okay? Stop that. He says, you need to go all the way back to Abraham because that's where the promise was. The promise wasn't found inside the law. The promise for us to experience the inheritance, the promise for us to experience God's best, it wasn't found in the law. The promise was made to Abraham and to his seed. Now look at the revelation that Paul has here. The promises were made to his seed, and he did not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to your seed, which is Christ. What is he saying? What he saw is that when God made promise to Abraham, when he said, so shall your seed be, when he said, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, all of those promises, while it was interpreted by the Jewish people and by Gentiles, and you know, when we talk about it, you know, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right, our Father. No, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Learn that in, you know, and we talk about that we're children of Abraham. But we're actually missing a piece of this because the promise wasn't made to you. Abraham's, the promise that God made to Abraham wasn't made to any one of us. The promise was made to one offspring, to just one of his offspring. And that person was Jesus Christ. Period. So the blessing of Abraham, this is the reason why it's not through Jesus, that's why it's in Jesus, because the promise is to him. That's why we don't get moved away from the simplicity that's in Christ. That's why we look to him. Because if we look at, how do I say this? To make it easy to understand. If we look at ourselves as just being a child of God that has the blessing of Abraham, and so my relationship is here's Mark, I'm a child of God, and so as a result of that, I have the blessing on my life. I've missed one vital important piece to that. And that is recognizing that it's because I'm in Christ. It's because I'm in Jesus. Because the promise and the blessing is on him. The blessing comes on us in Christ Jesus. I know I don't want it to sound like I'm splitting hairs, but this is important that we start living our life with this understanding. Because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Man, I just need to preach a whole message on what being in Christ is and Christ being in us is. So just recognizing that I'm in him. Man, we're just going to finish this thing out. So the promise is to one seed, and it's to Jesus. So verse 17, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. This covenant that God made to Abraham was confirmed in and concerning that one seed, Christ. The promise was to him. It's all about him. And actually, it even predates that when God in the garden promised that there is a seed coming from woman that's going to bust the devil's head. See, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, 16. See, so there's this thread of this one promised seed throughout Scripture. So this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law... So the law, now we're talking about the law of Moses again. that the Ten Commandments, all the things that maybe we've learned and tried to live our life by, he says that law that came 430 years after cannot disannul. In the same way that James and Eddie can't come in between or affect the agreement that I have with Mark, the same way the law can't come in and get in between or add to the agreement that God had, not with Abraham, but that God had promised to Jesus. Whew. Oh, man. This is an eternal promise. This is an eternal covenant that was made. God made this covenant. Man, I'm just getting so excited. I'm trying to stay still. I'm doing pretty good. God made this covenant. We talk about the covenant he made with Abraham. But in fact, this covenant is the covenant he made with the seed of Abraham, and that's with Jesus. And so the law couldn't come in to do something to get in between that. It cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The promise supersedes the law. The promise, just the promise, just the gift, just the promise. It supersedes anything that the law could do. Verse 18. For if the inheritance came out of the law, in other words, if the inheritance that God wanted each and every one of us to have, and you know that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and he's given us all things, the inheritance that we're to have, if it came out of the law, which means it comes out of what I do. It comes out of how good I can keep the commandments. And so therefore, you know, if I'm doing better than Wendy, then I'm going to get more inheritance than Wendy. And so we can start measuring ourselves to each other and our performance to each other and who's a good Christian and who's not a good Christian. And I deserve to be blessed because I'm doing this, but Wendy doesn't deserve to be blessed because she's not. Just using that as an example, I'm sure Wendy in this race would actually win. We all won because Jesus won. Because we're more than conquerors. We're not the ones that are trying to conquer. Amen. Come on. So he's saying here, he says, if the inheritance is of the law, then that means it's no more of a promise. It's not something that's just simply been given to you. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And that's all there was to it. Made the promise to Abraham. Made a covenant with his seed. So then in verse 19, he says, so then why the law? Why do we have the law? It's a great question. The law was added because of transgressions or for the sake of transgressions till the seed, till Jesus, till the promised seed, that one offspring, that one child, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Again, I just love that God made this promise to the seed, to this one seed. Way back when, and that promise was just out there working and working and working and working, and the Word of God, every Word of God is established in heaven, and His Word will not return void. I mean, man, just get back on my Sunday series about living the changed life and what it means to have your life governed by the Word that abides forever, the Word that will never change. I mean, God made a promise thousands of years ago to a man named Abraham that then said, I'm making a promise to an offspring that's going to happen in many generations. And that word just was there waiting for the moment. Ah, man, don't get me started on that, but that's awesome. And so here he's saying that the law was added for transgressions. Okay. I'm looking at the time, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. The law was added because of transgression. Here's the thing. Grace. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time to talk about this, but grace, Abraham lived under a covenant of grace. Okay? We think that grace only came because of Jesus. No. No, Abraham lived under grace. Abraham didn't live according to law. But the difference is, and get this, the difference is that the grace or that covenant or that dispensation that that Abraham lived under while he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, all that's great. But what it did not do is it did not free him from sin. Because sin entered in through Adam's transgression. And so so everybody was born into sin or had a nature that was disposed to sin. And so the real deal isn't about whether God considers us righteous or not. That's not what we're after. What he was after, what God was after, was us being made free from sin. Getting all of that out of the way so that Satan would no longer have any control over us. And so what needed to happen is our spirit man needed to be joined to Jesus, and so we needed to be born again to become a new creation so that all things would pass away, everything else would become new, and we would be born into his family and born in such a way that the righteousness of God became very real and that we would now be able to live. That life would be able to flow in us. Abraham wasn't living where life was flowing in him. See, he was experiencing the blessing of God, but that was external, that wasn't internal. He still made bad choices. He still, you know, lied. He still, so see, he was disposed to fear. He was disposed to, you know, because of the sin nature. And so what God did was he brought the law in so that humanity would recognize that we needed a Savior. And so he brought the law in to, the Bible says that the law gives strength to sin. See, remember during the 1920s that, you know, we talked about prohibition, you know, nobody could drink and they banned alcohol and all of this kind of stuff. Let me ask you a question. Did that keep people from drinking? Nope. It did not at all. As a matter of fact, it gave rise to illegal bootlegging and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because people, in their nature, they want to rebel against law. We see that in our society today. We see that in the world today. See? And so law was given to cause sin to really come alive in humanity. And so he goes on to say here that the law was given because of transgressions till the seed that should come, whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hand of a mediator, talking about Moses. Now verse 20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one. In other words, I don't need somebody to come in and mediate between me and myself. I don't need to say, look, I got two problems going on here. Can you be an arbitrator between me, myself, and I? No. A mediator is when there's a problem between two people and they come in and try to help between. And so he's saying a mediator is not, you know, so this was Moses kind of being that mediator between God and between man. But then he says this, and this is powerful, and I'm just going to reference something here. He says, but God is one. What is he talking about? What does that mean? This is awesome. You'll find this over in Ephesians chapter 2, I believe it is. It talks about that in one man, Jesus Christ, that the Jews and the Gentiles came together, and that in one man, the one mediator, that we all became one and we now have peace with God. Get a hold of this. Jesus, the Bible says that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. And so Jesus didn't come to be a mediator between me and God. And so that I have to go to Jesus. Hey, can you talk to God for me? Because I got this problem going on. Jesus became human, but he was also God in the same flesh. And both of them came together, became one. And so he reconciled it all through his body. I'll just let you chew on that because I am going to get to the end of this. So, is the law then against, verse 21, the promises of God? God forbid. So the law is not against the promise of God. It's not when he says a promise, he's talking about the promise to Abraham. So the law did not come in to say, okay, we don't like the promise, we're going to do something different. No. God forbid. For if there was a law that could be given which could give life, verily righteousness would have come by that law. Here's the problem. The problem wasn't that the law was bad. The problem was we were. The law is just, holy, and good, the Bible says. We weren't. And we couldn't keep the law. See? And so in I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the law being the ministration of death. It did not produce life. Rather, it produced death because it caused sin to come alive. See? So it's not that the law was bad. It's that we were, and so it showed our need for a Savior. Look at this. It says, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin. So because of the law, and because the Jewish people proved that mankind could not keep the law, then Isaiah, I think it is, and some of the Scripture says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The fact that they couldn't keep the law was an indictment on all of humanity. All of humanity. That every single person is born under sin, sold under sin, and is not righteous. I don't care who it is. And so the law showed our need for a Savior. It says that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ, but it concluded all under sin, that the promise that came by the faith of Jesus Christ, his faith. Remember, my faith in him releases the faith of him in my life. See, because I'm in him now, his faith, his power, his grace, everything that's in him is now freely available and operating in my life. And that goes back to one of the first sessions we did here in Galatians, so you'd have to look at that. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given. That the promise might be given. That the promise might be given. The promise that comes out of faith, as that comes from Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. Do you see here that there are two people's faith involved? Do you see that there's the faith of Jesus Christ who received, get it? He received the promise of Abraham to Abraham. He received the blessing. He received everything, the inheritance, everything that had been promised. He says, I'm that seed, and I receive that, and I'm going to walk in it and experience that. Because even in John chapter 8, I believe it is, John 8 or 12, he told the Pharisees, religious people, he said, before Abraham was, I am. See? So, he's through this whole deal. But now, what he received, this promise that he received, he has turned around and God has freely given it to us who also believe. When I believe in him, and when I live my life based on knowing that I'm in him, then I set myself up to receive everything that comes by the faith of him. Can you get that? That what he believed, what he received, all of that now becomes mine and works in and through me. because I simply believe in him. Now do you see why I'm saying don't be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ? Oh, man. Let's see. But the scripture has confined all under sin. So I guess they've got a different translation up. I'm reading from the King James Version, which more accurately this particular case. So this is New King James. And see, this is sometimes what you run into with modern translations. Is the people translating, they don't get this. They don't understand this. And they say, well, what this really means is faith in. No, because what he's talking about is two people's faith. The faith of Jesus to them that believe in. See. So, let's see. If you guys could switch to the King James Version back there, that would make it much, much easier for everybody following along. So, we are almost done. So, I can get this done in 10 minutes. So, I'm going to wait till they switch it. Because they did. Great. It's concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those, let's see here, might be given to them that believe. It's so clear. And I don't want to get stuck on that. Verse 23, but before faith in Jesus, the faith of Jesus, however you want to describe that, before it was revealed to us, it says we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Okay? So, and then he goes on to say, therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. By faith. It was all, you know, I mean, it was there, you know, you're a parent. What do? You set rules, regulations. You tell your kids don't go into the street. You tell your kids, you know, make sure you look both ways. And when they don't, you know, when they don't obey you, what do? You punish them, you discipline them, that sort of thing. What are you trying to do? You're trying to instill into them good habits, trying to train them up right, trying to, you know, if you're a good parent, you're not just letting them do whatever they want. They're under your training them. But how many of you, when you were kids or teenagers, like, I can't wait to get out of this house? I'm telling you what. How many of you rebelled? Okay, all right. James was perfect. He never rebelled at all. And that's awesome. You know, because why? It was law. Now, the law was there for your good. As a parent, every rule we put is for their good. But yet somehow they still don't want to do it. They don't understand it is for their good. And we were the same way. We wanted to get out of that house. I can't wait till I'm on my own. And so finally, I became an adult and got out on my own. And so if I cross the street and don't look both ways, you know, and get over there, I'm not in fear. Listen, check this out. I'm not in fear of my father coming over and grounding me. I'm not in fear of getting a spanking. I'm not in fear of whatever that punishment or discipline was growing up, because I'm out from under that schoolmaster, if you will. Yeah. See. Well, the Bible says there's no fear of judgment in love. We're not under that schoolmaster anymore. All of that judgment that you saw under the law no longer applies to us, because now we're born into his family. And because the promised seed came, we don't have to live that way and under fear of that. That's just a thought for you to kind of go with. All right? But after, verse 25, that faith is come. Everything we do is by faith. We live by faith. We live a life of faith. That's why we named this church this. It's a life of faith. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith of being in Him. You're children because you're in Him. Look at this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, and here's the clincher of the whole deal. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. All right, get a picture. Get a picture. It's not just you and Jesus over here. It's not just me going to Jesus. It's now I have been clothed in Jesus. As I'm walking, I'm clothed in Him. See, I'm literally in Him. Everything about me is in Him right now. And so this is the reason why, if you'll get a picture, it's not so much that we see ourselves separate and as individual children of God. You know, you're a child, you're a child, you're a child, you're a child, you're a child. All that's true, but the mystery of the gospel is that we are all clothed in Him, and now we are the body of Christ. And so we are that promised seed. That seed, there's so much to it, but the whole point is you're Jesus. Now don't go off and say, oh my gosh, that's heresy. I'm not Jesus. Don't start going and tell people, hey, my name's Jesus. No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that the unity that you have with Jesus is the same unity that Jesus has with the Father. Amen. That we're one with Him, even as Jesus is one. Read it in John chapter 17. See. For as many as you as has been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. So, because of that truth, because of this reality, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Okay, so in his day, there's not a separation. There's not a, you know, we do this sometimes in our churches too. Israel has a special status in our hearts. Now Israel, look, I mean, I love Israel, so don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-Israel at all. God has a covenant with Israel and all that kind of stuff. That's not the point. The point is we will look at a Jewish person as being sometimes more blessed than we are. You know, they own the banks, they own this, they own that. Well, why do they own all that? Well, because they're a Jew. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, yeah, you know, you find out they're a Jew. Well, of course they're blessed because of Abraham, you know, and that sort of thing. And so we'll make this distinction in our minds. We'll make this distinction between us and between them. And like, man, I wish I knew what they knew and that sort of thing. Well, no, there's no distinction. In Christ, to whom the promise was made. In Christ, to whom the promise was made, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. In other words, guess what? In the old system, men had more rights, men had more honor, men had more prestige, men had, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to come down on men, but under that system, women were not thought highly of, you know, and so the prestige and the honor and the ability to do things, everything was in man's favor. Men under the law could divorce women, but women could not divorce the men. See. But now, in Christ, there's neither male or female. See. Because we're part of the body. And Jennifer has just as much rights and privileges to that inheritance, to that blessing, to what God has gifted her to do, as I do. And I am not, I don't get more rights and I don't get more privileges and I don't get more blessing in my life because I'm a man in this natural world than Jennifer does. Because in Christ, there's one promise. The promise isn't to me as a man. The promise is to Christ. And since both of us are in Christ, 1 Peter chapter 4 says that we are heirs of the grace of life together. See, this society and this world is trying to, you know, it's all about feminism and it's women against men and women want their rights and men want, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it's all this conflict that happens because of wrong understanding. And our churches have fed into that because they've missed this point about us being in Christ. See, when I honor her and honor the gift that's in her, man, my life is enriched. Same thing with her. Well, as we've gotten a hold of these truths, our marriage today is better than it's ever been. We've been married nearly 30 years. And I'm telling you what, it's getting better all the time. But not because she finally learned to submit. It's because I finally learned to submit. No, I'm just kidding. I learned how to have the last word. Yes, ma'am. No, that's not the reason why it's better. The reason why it's better is because we honor each other. Amen. We honor the gift that's in each other. We recognize that in Christ. Isn't that powerful? So there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. See, and during that time, there was slavery. Can you get a hold of that for just a second? During this time, it was legal to have slaves. It's the way that the world operated. And Paul is making this statement that it may be that in society, now get a hold of this, it may be that in society you are enslaved to another person. But that's not true in Christ. How can we apply this to us? Okay? How our status in society has no bearing on our status in the kingdom. The blessing of God is on me simply because I'm in Christ, not because of whether I'm enslaved to my job, whether I'm enslaved, you know, however you want to look at it. And this is what he's trying to get across. Because there was no recourse for slavery. There wasn't anything about protesting or anything. You couldn't do that under the Roman Empire. You didn't have that opportunity. So what you had to do is your trust and your faith had to rest not in that and your legal standing, but in your position in Christ. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are that one seed. Then you are Abraham's seed. Then you are that seed that the promise was made to. Every promise that God made to Abraham that was to be fulfilled in Jesus. Because you're in Him, you don't get a lesser measure of that promise. You don't get a lesser fulfillment of that promise. You're not just a little Jesus that gets a little bit every now and then. You are fully... The promise is fully embodied in Jesus. Man. Must be fully embodied by His body. Does that make sense? We can't be moved away from the simpleness of this, the simplicity in it, that I'm in Christ. And the fullness of the blessing and the measure of the blessing that is on Him needs to be embodied in my life. The power that is on him and in him must be embodied in my life if I'll recognize my position in him. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. You are heirs. Whew, powerful. You are heirs. You're that heir. I mean, when in Genesis 15, when God started, when God made covenant with Abraham, he started talking about inheritance. You're heirs. Because Jesus is fully the heir of God. And now because we're in him, we're joint heirs with him. Now, we could go a number of different directions with that. Ephesians lays out a whole lot of things about the greatness of his power towards us, that we would all come to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Now, see, that makes more sense now. That in my life, that till we all come to that measure of who Christ is, just makes you just want to, you know, just like, it's like roaring like a lion. Amen. Amen. Hey, did pretty good. We made it all the way to the end of chapter 3, didn't we? Jeff gets the prize. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I would just encourage you to take these, to take chapter 3 this week, because we'll embark on chapter 4 next week. I don't know if we're supposed to be doing a worship thing next week or not. Does anybody know? Did we schedule a worship thing for next week? Nobody say anything? Okay, we're going to do Galatians next week. Yes. And so we'll start on chapter 4. I encourage you to, if you didn't really, if you're still trying to grasp some of the concept, it's the simplicity of us just being in him and him being the promised seed and the promise being made to him, then go back over this again. Go back over it and get this. So that you live, so that your mind is renewed, that you're living your life with this understanding. I'm not just a child of God, but I'm a child in Jesus of God. See? And you just see yourself in him. You walk in him. You live in him, and he lives in and through you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for this, just again, the scriptures, the amazing promises that is to us because we're in Christ. Father, it's just marvelous, 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 marvelous to watch how you planned this whole thing out. Thousands of years ago, so that because the promise just goes to Jesus, that since we're in him, all we have to do is just trust in him and his faith. And the blessing that's on him is just on us. Wow, what a powerful, powerful concept. What an amazing thought that you didn't just caused me to be born again to be a child, but I got born into him and I receive everything. Jesus, I receive everything that has been promised to you. I receive everything of the inheritance, everything, the power that flows through you. That same power flows through me because I'm in you. The glory that you have, you said you've given to us because we're in you. We could go all night talking about what's in you, Jesus. But Father, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you.